Welcome to another Pharma Forum podcast. In this episode, I speak with Nathan Clark, founder and CEO of Ganymede, to discuss how advanced technologies are refining and accelerating the way pharmaceuticals are designed and made. From AI to ML, and from GenAI to LLMs, automation, connectivity, and high-quality data are key focus points in this conversation. Nathan discussing the evolving role of the cloud in biopharma and how a lack of data sharing will inhibit the formation of intellectual capital. From nice to have to table stakes, Clark looks to the future of digitalization in industry. As much as the future of these very futuristic technologies can be looked at, and states that openness is critical, that with data online and available, the availability of commercial data sets will be greatly increased, only benefiting science and innovation. Collaboration mode is around the corner, he predicts. Let's wait and see. As ever, thank you for listening. This is your host, Nicole Raleigh, and today I have with me Nathan Clark, founder and CEO of Ganymede, a modern data platform and cloud infrastructure for science. Today, we'll be discussing the evolving role of the cloud in biopharma and some revolutionary tools in AI drug discovery. Welcome, Nathan.
Great to be here.
Now, prior to founding Ganymede, Nathan, you were product manager for several of Benchling's data products. Indeed, you've had extensive background in machine learning and data systems across financial technology and general technology. I wondered, therefore, whether you could tell us more about your journey to where you are today, doing what you do, and the changes you've witnessed and been a part of in that technology's development along the way.
I've always had a passion for biotech and biology from day one, but I started, as you mentioned, my career in finance. I also like finance quite a lot. Any application that can have large scales of data and large impact from technology is a great place to be, especially these days. And so throughout my career, I've gravitated towards those domains. And over time, my vocation became that direction of cloud infrastructure, data platforms, machine learning. And it's been a pleasure to work on those systems across different domains. I think for me personally, it is hard to beat the impact that you can have in biotechnology and in supporting pharma and supporting life sciences generally. So that's what drew me into Benchling ultimately, and then now Ganymede. At Benchling, I think one of the things that really struck me is you can look at the way that many other industries have gone, where they build out their systems of record, they build out their core databases that track everything, much the same way as something like Benchling is for R&D, something like Veeva is for clinical trials. And those systems are great. And then people want to build the next layer of automation on top of them. They start saying, okay, I have all my data now. I have all the tools that I need to start being able to do more with this data. How can I do it? How can I start working towards some sort of automation or AI machine learning approach or something like that? And in other industries, that's a little bit easier because many other industries, like finance, for instance, a lot of the data that people are working with is human defined. It's something where you say, I can come up with an idea of what is the representation of a loan or what is the representation of a transaction on a credit card. And one of the things that to me is fascinating about the domain of biotechnology is that you're purely empirical against the way that biology and nature is set up. You're running experiments, you're trying something new every time, and it's in reference to some exogenous thing like the human body or drugs that you're testing. And that makes it extremely hard to pin down what exactly the data is that you're working on. So to me, it's this fascinating domain that I just increasingly gravitate towards that is much more challenging, I would say, than other traditional domains for doing this sort of data infrastructure. But it makes it all the more rewarding as a result. So that's what I love about what we get to do at Ganymede is being able to work on such different and varied approaches that people are doing with their R&D, with their manufacturing, which are the domains that we primarily touch. And I think to your question on the changes in the direction that technology has been going, I think there's a growing appreciation for not just, of course, AI, which I'm sure will come up throughout this conversation since it's one of the hottest topics out there. people have been focused on that, but I think there's a growing appreciation for the fact that AI is really a data product. People are investing in their core data infrastructure, and people are starting to bring that online into the cloud, not just their electronic lab notebooks or their LIMS systems or their batch records, but also the data itself underlying all of this, starting to bring that into the cloud. So I think that cloud transformation is an ongoing thing. I think the investment seems to be doubling down and increasing, which is very exciting to see. So that's, I think, what stands out to me by far.
So as you say, AI is one of the hottest topics out there, or buzzword that's been going not just last year, but even before. And we're now in 2024. So we've got AI, we've got machine learning, we've got generative AI or Gen AI and large language models or LLMs. And they're transforming the industry. Only last week, researchers at the University of Cambridge in the UK and Pfizer announced they'd developed an artificial intelligence-powered platform that could refine and accelerate, importantly, the way pharmaceuticals are designed and made with a novel approach to high-throughput experimentation, or HTE. And looking at this, the key foci clearly in life sciences are acceleration, yes, but also cost optimization in bringing drugs to market to meet unmet patient needs. So in your opinion, Nathan, how best can this digitalization assist? What role can AI play in drug discovery going forwards from this point?
It's an excellent question. And I think as I alluded to, and I'll talk about a little bit here, AI is really a data product. One of the things that we've observed over the last 5 or 10 years, I guess another counteracting trend on some of this, is that a lot of big pharmas had their digital transformation journey start 5 years ago, 10 years ago, with the advent of the cloud and with greater focus on having getting off paper and into more centralized systems. And those journeys are ongoing, but we're starting to reach a point where we can see their outcomes and we can see how far they've gotten. And in some ways they succeeded, and in other ways they've actually run into some issues where a lot of the promise of what you can do with centralized data may have been oversold to an extent. People may have over assume that if you just have all the data, then you can do something with it. That process of getting the data into the right shape and into a good place to do something more advanced like AI on it is a very long journey. And I think people are starting to have a bit of a come to reality moment with that, which is exciting for data infrastructure, but definitely makes it a little bit more difficult to quickly capitalize on it with tools like AI. What I would say is there's really two axes of how digitalization can assist in here. And this, I think, is digitalization is not just assisting, but is the core of what will make a successful AI strategy successful for a big pharma or for any company, even smaller companies that are seeking to do something more reasonable based on their scale. One is when you're capturing data, one of the effects that we've seen with these digital transformations is that if you dump all that data into a place and you just have it, we sometimes call this the data swamp. You're not really doing a data lake as much as a data swamp, because the data is just there. It's decaying. It decays because it lacks context. It decays because it's not linked into the context that it was created in. You don't know necessarily. So say I have some file that came off a lab instrument. Great. But what does that mean? Science is so contextual and so interrelated that it's very hard, unless you're capturing all the data and capturing it in a rich way that connects the different systems, like your electronic lab notebook, like your LIMS system, like all of the 4 different instruments that you used in some particular workflow. That is what's really required to make sense of the data. And so that's one missing piece, is that complete picture of the data. And then the other thing that digitalization assists with is when you ask people to move off of paper and start data entering things into an electronic lab notebook or a LIMS system, that's great for a central IT team that wants to capture all the data, but it's not necessarily actually helping scientists or technicians or RAs day to day in terms of their work. Because they are perhaps actually doing more work now, doing all this data entry. They can do hours a week of data entry, we've seen. And digitalization, beyond just paper on glass, but actually moving to say, okay, there's some automation, there's some connectivity between the lab instruments and my assay and the data going to my systems of record, that actually, that automation accelerates the day-to-day work of those people on the ground. And now you're capturing even more data. That notion of linking together the data that I talked about on the first axis is also enriched. So we see digitalization as being this transformative thing, because you're changing it from this separation of desires where IT wants to get data online, but scientists just want to do their experiments and get it done with, and they don't want to have to do all this data entry to report to some central team. Now, their incentives are aligned. They're on the same axis. You're saying IT wants more data. They want it faster. They want it better. They want it with greater integrity, less human error. And scientists say, well, I want automation. And automation drives both of those. It's a really wonderful virtuous cycle. So digitalization in the sense of going beyond paper on glass into saying, okay, there's actual connectivity and motion of data between different systems. I'm actually leveraging the fact that my data is all online. I can now automate things. I can run analysis on this. I can develop true AI and machine learning models on it. That is the path in our mind to make digital transformation successful at a large scale, make AI possible at a large scale. Those are almost synonymous to us, to unwind a little bit of this data swamp effect that's happened in what we've seen in the industry over the years.
So are there any examples you can give where Ganymede is assisting in this effect?
Absolutely. And I think that's a big piece of our business. Without speaking to any of the individual clients or their processes, we very consistently, I would say, so I guess to back up a little bit, actually, Ganymede, as you mentioned, we're a cloud platform for connecting data in the life sciences, especially in the wet lab and in manufacturing. Wherever there's physical processes going on, physical assays, we want to be there because we connect to the lab instruments. We connect to the systems of record, like the electronic lab notebook, the LIMS system, the batch record in manufacturing. And then we move data between them and automate the analysis between them. So that's how we achieve the automation. And at the same time, we're also building this much richer picture of the data at every step. So we love connecting things. We love executing on this data movement. And I think what we've seen with our clients pretty consistently is once people get a taste of what you can do with the automation, once we will oftentimes say, okay, let's start with one, two, or three key instruments or key assays that are major bottlenecks or pain points for people. And we'll go in and say, all right, let's get that online. Let's get that automated. And now look, we've not just automated the workflow and the scientists are happy because we've saved time, but let us kind of give you a present. Let us show you a little bit of what we can do with the data centrally. Let's overlay all the runs historically ever and see if there's anything interesting to derive from that. Oftentimes there is. And we can do that because we have the context of what is a run. We can have the context of what other instruments have been used simultaneously in this workflow. And so if building that richer picture of the data lets us very quickly start to derive greater insights. So I think it's a very common pattern for us to follow.
So we're talking about what once was considered quite futuristic stuff. Obviously, it's no longer the future. It's here today. But we ever have to look to that future, such as innovation. So what are your projections, Nathan, for, say, the next 5 years or 10 years? Perhaps we won't say 20 years because developments in this field just are so speedy, are they not?
Absolutely, yeah. 20 years is a very long time. That's a generational gap that's hard to anticipate. But I guess actually starting on the sort of 0 years, one thing that I see manifesting right now that I think is instructive for the future is when we go to, so we oftentimes will go to conferences like we'll be going to SLAS, the Lab Automation Conference in Boston in a few weeks from this taping. We'll be going to BioIT World. Every conference we go to, regardless of what the topic is at this point, frankly, ends up being a data conference. SLAS, you know, you go there, there's robot arms, there's liquid handlers everywhere. It's the coolest conference and I love it. But what people have realized is the gaps from here are really not hardware anymore. You can achieve what you need in hardware. It's the software that drives it. And the software in turn is fed by the data that you have available to it. So SLAS has turned into a digitalization conference. BioIT World is 100% a digitalization conference. Certainly the core systems of record are there, all the LIMS, ELENS, and so on, but also data connectivity is the biggest topic there. Conferences around AI and machine learning end up being that way. So I think in the next 5 years, we'll see a significant investment in data infrastructure, open modular data infrastructure that bigger pharmas implement, but also smaller companies will increasingly realize, okay, I don't just need some system of record. I don't just need my paper on glass. Like I need more than just a LIMS system. I also need to connect it and make use of it and leverage it in automation. And that's where we hope to be, certainly. That's where we see a lot of also innovation coming from the big cloud providers like AWS and GCP and Azure. And so we see that being something that is increasingly a box to be checked. It goes from nice to have to table stakes very quickly. In early stage R&D, even all the way down to companies with, say, 50 people. Already we see people making investments in AWS there, making investments in Ganymede there, and that's a huge thing. On a longer term basis, we would expect that over time, this will lead to much greater acceleration of experimentation. I think having the, and also there's new modalities that will be unlocked through this of how science is done. One of the biggest problems in science today, from my perspective, is lack of data sharing, lack of openness around data. People are extremely protective of their IP, rightly so, to an extent. But that really inhibits the formation of intellectual capital as people do these experiments. You know, you'll publish papers that are sort of this limited window into what you've done, but the lack of the data sets, the lack of just raw data association and saying, you know, could I see every flow cytometry experiment that's ever been done? There's doubtless troves of data to be extracted from that and insights to be gained, but you can't. But once the data is online and once the data is available and once you can say, I can actually with a click of a button share this limited data set with people, we hope that that will also greatly increase the availability of commercial data sets in the space for not just high scale imaging data sets or genomics data sets, but just wet lab, instrument runs, those sorts of things. So open data can start coming from that. Collaboration and connectivity between companies can come from that. Of course, I think also in that time frame, we'll start to see real dividends from AI and machine learning and greater scale analysis that is what people are pushing towards right now. But I think what's kind of around the corner that you can't see is that collaboration mode where science starts to be a little bit dissolved from purely being within a company, within some IP, and the connectivity develops, because that's what the cloud is all about. From the perspective of a tech startup like ourselves, the cloud is not only about powering your systems, it's also about connecting to everyone else. And that's what is completely missing today on the actual biotech drug development side, is there's no thought given to connectivity between companies beyond, well, I have to email some files around every so often with my collaborators.
Thank you, Nathan. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And so that concludes another episode of the Pharma Forum podcast. You can find out more information about this episode, including a download link and information about previous installments of the series at pharmaforum.com/podcasts. The Pharma Forum podcast is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, and Podbean, where you can find and subscribe by searching for Pharma Forum. Of course, don't forget to visit our website itself, where you can sign up for daily news and analysis bulletins, and follow us on Twitter, or X nowadays, at Pharma Forum. That's all for now. Thank you for listening.